Well, good morning and welcome to our continuing study in the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Christ according to Luke, and we're in chapter 8, we spent last week on verse 5 through 10 there, and regarding the parable of the sower, so we'll just read through. Today we're going to be talking about the second parable, but let's read through, because these are both closely linked. They're both, and we'll read them, and then we'll discuss that a little bit. But starting in verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed. And remember that he's talking to these people, and that it says that in verse 1, the 12, the disciples, were with him, and he spoke this parable, and then the disciples says, "Well, tell us about this." So a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Boy, we find that same thing repeated to the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, and we'll look at that here in a little bit. Today's message is titled, Hearing and Seeing the Gospel. Hearing and Seeing the Gospel. And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: unto you it is given to know," and he's going to explain to them what this parable means. "Those by the wayside are they that hear, and then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart," the transducer, the liar that comes and says, "There is no God, and you're not a sinner." And he taketh the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. "They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a little while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they've heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." And then he continues on. He says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it upon a candlestick, that they which enter in might see the light. And for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither is anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemed to have." Boy, we're going to see some surprising things in this, these parables. And so, again, we're looking at these parables as he's got his 12 with him, and he begins to bring them along and letting them know and teaching them what they can expect and what's expected of them. And we find that he says, you're going to sow the seed, and some of it's just going on the wayside and it's just going to get stomped down. Some of it's going on the rock. Some's going in the thorn patch. You just cast it out there and it goes wherever. And he says, but by grace, some of it's going to go on the good ground. And it's going to fall on a ground that of an honest heart and a good heart, the heart that's a new heart that's prepared by God, and so he brings them these lessons, and we're going to see a continuation of that through this whole chapter of Luke as he brings them along through different stages and teaches them things, and they're also applicable to the church. That's its relative application of what we find today. We preach the gospel, and we have no control over where it goes or who hears it and whether they believe it, or that's all up to the Spirit of God. And but our job is to echo the gospel, as we said last week. That word "hath" from the Greek "have" or "hath" here that we just read in the Greek is the word "echo," and it's a reflection of sound. Paul said, I give you that which I received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He just reflected back what was given to him. And so, as we noted in that teaching, to those that go forth with the gospel, that here's the results that you can expect. And one of the things we wanted to point out here is that parable had to do with hearing. Did you notice how many times it talked about hearing and heard? They that hear, they that hear, they that hear. Luke 8:10. Hearing, they might not understand. Those by the wayside are they that hear, and still it goes by the way. And they that are on the rock, when they hear, and they that fell among thorns, when they have heard, and they others which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, they hold it, they echo it, and with patience, they don't try to hurry it. We see in religion, they're just so eager to get people saved that they pull shenanigans and they pull shortcuts and they do things to try and get people to make a profession. They have no patience for God. They don't wait on the Lord for these things. But they have to hear it. And isn't that what it tells us in Romans chapter 10? Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved, but how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they call upon him in whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without someone to declare it to them? That's what it tells us in Romans 10. And so it's important here that he tells them that you are the broadcasters, you are the declarers, and there's going to be a lot of hearing going on, but it's God that gives the hearing ear and the seeing eye. And the seeing part, we find, comes into the second parable, the parable of the lamp. And this has to do with seeing. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. So we have two mediums here that's talked about, and we have this echo, this reflection of the gospel that's brought forth, and then we have the reflection of the light that's brought forth. If you haven't noticed, there's just been a real bright full moon out here the last few days, and it's a reflection of the light. It doesn't have any light of itself. We don't have the light of the gospel of ourselves. It's the light of Christ's gospel, and we just are reflecting that out to people. And again, we just deliver that which we also received. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are light. And, you know, the next couple of words are real important, because you are light in the Lord. That's where it comes from. We don't have that of our own selves. So he says, walk as children of light. And so there's several lessons to the church here that the Lord intended and purposed, that those who he redeemed, that were saved by his grace, would go forth and liberally spread the gospel and leave the results of the preaching of the gospel to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, because that's their purview. Ours is just to be faithful in declaring the gospel. And so many people are told all the time, well, people are going to hell because you're not witnessing to them. Our job is just to be faithful in declaring the truth of the gospel, and then we just have to let it alone after that. And it's not by how many times we repeat it or how many times we beat somebody over the head with it. It's the Spirit's work to make that effectual. And, you know, the Scripture says, go you into all the world preach the gospel to every creature. And, you know, we individually, we can't do that, but collectively, it's our responsibility to wherever we go or whatever we're doing to declare the gospel. And our job is, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, 1 Peter 2, 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people. That word peculiar doesn't mean odd, like we have an extra ear or something. It means purchased. It means bought. That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And, you know, it says, we need to be ready to give answer to anybody that asks us about the hope that lieth within us. Why aren't you panicked out about all the stuff that's going on? Well, it's only temporary, folks. When the last sheep is saved, we're all going somewhere else. And that stuff won't matter anymore. So it kind of keeps it in perspective of how we view things. So, but we declare the gospel, then we leave it up to God to make it effectual, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God for or because, we know that you were elected because our gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And, you know, the Lord says he chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's his method of operation. So, so to whom the Lord gives understanding of the gospel and who he brings into the new birth, born again from above, as it says, they're obligated to share that as much as possible, relying on God to give the light of understanding to the hearers and the seers. We wish we could do that sometimes. We just say, man, I wish they would get this. And we just don't control that. So no man, he says, when he lighteth a candle, covereth with a vessel or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick that they which enter in may see the light. And of course, the man here, a metaphor representing Christ. No man, when he lighteth a candle, he's Christ, the very source of light, who lighted a candle, one of the elect, one of the sheep, the redeemed, the born again from above, who showing forth the praises of him who calleth out of darkness and into his marvelous light, that they might sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and be ready always to give answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's from 1 Peter 3:15. You know, there just isn't any light outside of Christ. It's just darkness. It's always referred to as darkness of darkness, and it has that connotation of error and the issues that we have in that unregenerate state. We are just dead in darkness and error and trespasses and sins. So our responsibility is clear then, is to, as we mentioned in our last lesson, is to that word verse 15, but the other that fell on the good ground, the seed that fell on the good ground, are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, to hold fast and bring forth fruit with patience, having heard. And again, that word to echo that we find, the holding fast and the patience of waiting on the Lord, not trying to be effectual ourselves, trusting the Spirit of God to accomplish his eternal task. And we just don't have any ability outside of being true and delivering that which we've received. That's the extent of our ability. And we just have to trust to him to make it effectual in his his sheep. You know, the natural man rejects the seeing and the hearing unless an almighty work is done in them. They just don't want to hear it. Probably many of you out there have had experience. Try to broach the subject of salvation with somebody and they say, oh, don't want to hear it. Keep all that religious stuff to yourself. I don't need it. It's fine. If you want it, it's fine. If you want that crutch, if you want that, that's fine for you, but I don't need it. I'm not a sinner. Or if I am a sinner, I'm not much of a sinner. Or maybe I'm a great sinner, but I don't think there's any God that's going to judge me. So, and when I meet him, I'll tell him a thing or two. That's the typical attitude that you run into. What you wait for is that person that comes up to you that the Spirit has opened their heart and gave them a new heart, and they say, we would hear more of this. The Jews rejected it, but the Gentiles said, we would hear more of this. And there was like 3,000 of them added to the church in one day, as many as were ordained to eternal life, believed, and those things are what we look for. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. He's got no ability, no way. And Zechariah chapter 7, someday in Norm's, we'll get there. But they says they refuse to hearken. They refuse to hear. The two things that we're concerned about in our lesson today, hearing and seeing, they refuse to hearken, pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears that they should not hear. They just didn't want to hear it. We're fine with how we are. We don't need that. But we know the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord makes the both of them. From Proverbs 20:12, and that hearing ear that hears the gospel, that the heart has been turned into good ground, a good heart, an honest heart. And we mentioned earlier that he that hath an ear to hear is mentioned to the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. It's five, six times. It's he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's turn over and let's read from Revelation chapter 3 in verse 3, because it's relevant to what we're looking at here in Luke. It's all relevant anyway, but particularly here in chapter 3 of Revelation. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. That echo. He said what Paul said, I delivered unto you that which I also received. The same thing. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. Hold fast unto that. Hold fast. Don't let anything slip. Don't let anything go. And remember, in the time of Christ, a lot of them were trying to add works back into grace. I know that you're saved by grace, but you need to be circumcised to keep that law, and you need to do this, and you need to do that. And he said, hold fast to the gospel and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I'll come upon me, or I will come upon thee. So he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. That's from verse 6. We skip forward a couple of verses to verse 6. It's very important that we hear and receive, and we hold fast, and we echo that back out. We deliver that which we've had. And so in the close of these verses, there's kind of a cautionary word. And this part became interesting to me as I was looking through it, and I said, let's read that again. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Well, in our previous lessons, you may have recalled several times where the Pharisee, when Jesus was having dinner at the Pharisee's house, and the woman that was a sinner came in, and the Pharisee said within himself, if he was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman that is. And he thought, he's thinking, he can't read my mind. But we read, when we were studying that, we looked at that scripture, says everything is naked and plain to him with whom we have to do. It's like, there's no secret from the Almighty. He knows everything. We can't hide our thoughts, our intents, our hearts from him. He knows everything. And so, as he says, no man, when he lights a candle, covers it with a vessel or put it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see. Nothing is in secret. Why is he telling these disciples that? You know, he's got the 12 with him. And one of those is a faker. One of those guys is up to no good. Nothing is in secret that shall not be made manifest. It's already been made manifest in the Old Testament. Let another his bishopric take. The amount of money that he got paid for betraying the Lord. All those things that he said, he'll never find out about that. Nothing secret that shall not be made manifest. Neither is anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. That word come abroad means it means a shining that comes under a light. Now, so we have a couple of warnings here, cautionary warnings, not only to the ne'er-do-well here among the 12, but to the church also, that you want to make sure that you don't say, well, I'd just like to make that gospel more effective. If I could just get people to sign here, if I could just get people to... We'll just have somebody walk down to the altar here, and that'll get others that are thinking about doing the same thing to do it, because they won't feel alone if they do it. So all these shenanigans that they pull, all these emotional ploys they pull to try to get people to come forward and make a profession... Let's have every eye closed and every head bowed. And if the Lord's dealing with you, raise your hand so we can pick you out and deal with you. And all those things. You know, the Lord is able to save his people. And he does not need assistance from us, other than he's chosen by the foolishness of preaching the gospel to save them that believe. So we have a word here that's, anything, neither shall anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. It means kind of exposed by shining. And the gospel, it holds up to the light. It's true. Many months or years ago, we had a lesson, I can't remember from where now, but I think it was in Corinthians, when we were studying the book of Corinthians, and we came across this word sincere. And this word sincere, it's a Latin word that when they translated this Bible into English, that they used this word sincere. And this, it's a compound Latin word that means without wax. what that word meant. And it turned out that in old time, they would make pots, and the potter would, when he was firing it or something, maybe it would get a crack in it, and he'd say, oh man, I can't sell that with a crack in it. So he'd take some wax and put it in there to cover up the crack, and then it wouldn't show up. But the wise shopper would hold that up to the light, and that crack would show up. They would see that crack. And so they stamped the pottery that was the best pottery, that was no cracks in it. They kind of stamped it like sincere, without wax. It's stands up to light, and it would pass inspection for sale, and judged by sunlight, it was true and solid. And that's what the gospel is. You can hold that up to any light, and it's going to be true. It's going to be solid. It's going to withstand any examination. It's not going to have to be, every time somebody adds a little work, well, you need to be baptized. That's a crack. They're putting a crack in the gospel, and it's not going to hold up to the light. Or you need to do this, or you just need to sign this, repeat this prayer and sign this bottom page, and thou shalt be saved. That's a crack in the gospel. And when you hold that up to the light, when you hold it up to the light of Christ, it's not going to show up as anything but a crack. We find this word here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 10, where Paul writes, that you may approve things that are excellent. The gospel of Christ is excellent. It's just magnificent. That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. That your testimony, that your declaring of the gospel is solid, it's true, it's without wax, there's no cracks in it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity. And then he says, here's all the cracks. You should be sincere without cracks, but here, not with fleshly wisdom. That's a big crack. But by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. So anytime we add something that comes from the flesh, we could get a lot more people saved if we could just have a little buzzer in the seat that we could click it and they would jump up and say, oh, that must be a prod to get them to come forward. Anything that we think of psychologically, emotionally, like that. It's just a crack, and that's all it is. You know what he goes on to say here in 2 Corinthians? That we write none other things unto you than that which you read and acknowledge. We're just going to give you that which we've received, how Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and how he is buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. That's where it is. And maketh manifest, makes known the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To one, we're the savor of death unto death. They're going to reject that and not believe it and say, I don't want to hear it. They're going to shrug their shoulder and stop up their ears and say, I don't want to hear it. To others, we're the savor of life unto life. And who's sufficient for these things? Not us. We have no control over that. But you know what? We're always thankful to the person that echoed the gospel to us, that gave us what they had received in truth, without any cracks, in sincerity. For we are not as many that corrupt the word of God. We're not as those that put the cracks in the pot of the gospel, but as of sincerity, it says, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Isn't that just wonderful how that pictures that what happens when you try to add or subtract things from the gospel? Well, you know what I know it tells us in Ephesians, that we were predestinated, and but we can't really talk about that. That's, we're going to leave that part out. We're just going to focus on chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And but we don't really even know what that means. But we're going to repeat it. So the second part of that admonition is, take heed how ye hear. For whosoever hath, that word holds on to and echoes, to him shall be given. And to whosoever hath not, the one that doesn't hold on, the one that doesn't echo, and I just think that this is just a picture of Judas here. He says, to him that hath not, from him shall be taken even what he seemeth to have. He seemed to be a disciple. When the disciples all, he says, one of you is going to betray me. And they all said, is it I? Oh God, I hope it's not me. Is it I? And he said the same thing. And he seemed to, he went out with them two by two. He went out with them and did everything they did. He seemed to be a disciple. He seemed to be a believer. But he was not. And of course we find that written about in the Old Testament. My own familiar friend betrayed me with a kiss. He seemed like one of the guys, seemed like one of the disciples, but in the end, even from him that hath not, that will be taken which he seemeth to have. So we'll stop there on this lesson, and next time we pick up as he, and always remember as we're going through here that he's teaching his disciples, he's bringing them along, and nothing is by accident. Everything is ordained. Everything is at the purpose of God. I loved what our pastor said this morning about family. You know, here in the next verse it says, then came to his mother and his brethren, and they couldn't come at him for the press. And the disciples said, hey, your mom and your brothers are out there. And he says, you know, this is my mother and my brothers. His brother, you know, if you go in some of the other gospels about this same time, they didn't believe on him. They didn't come around till sometime later. But at this point in time, neither did his brothers believe in him. His mother did, but he said, you know what, my family is the people, this is my family. And isn't that true how we find that in our own lives? We have more in common with our brothers and sisters in the Lord than we do with our, we don't have much to talk about with our physical family a lot of times. And they just want to shrug their shoulder and stop their ears and not have anything much to do with you if you're one of them religious kooks. So, well, until the next time, and as we leave there and go across the Sea of Galilee on a mission, he said, I must go to Gadara. Be free, my friends.